Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording us on a Monday night. The Kings road trip is going smoothly right now. Three games in, they are 3-0. One more to play in the Mile High City of Denver. Tonight, a showdown with the Dallas Mavericks, a banged-up Mavericks team. Injuries galore. Anthony Davis out, PJ Washington out. No Gafford, no Lively, no Luka. We know that. And Kyrie Irving goes down in this game, does not return. Then Jaden Hardy went down. Kings were without big man Domantas Sabonis again. Turns out he's got a grade one hamstring strain, reevaluated in a week. So the Kings gave Scalabissiere a 10-day contract. There's a game to be played today. Sacramento got the job done. Smacked them all over the place in that second half. A beatdown of beatdowns. In fact, we saw Scalabissiere play in this game.
Yeah, we did.
Same with Isaac Jones. 2 days ago, they were in Stockton. But tonight, it was all Sacramento. They win 122-98. They are now 32-28 on the season. A season high, four games above 500. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. This podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. How you doing, Mo?
I'm great. I don't care who the Kings are playing.
Yep.
Who is on the roster. You get a dub, and you get a dub the right way, then I'm really feeling good. Because the way this game was, probably in the first half, going into halftime even, I was like, got to find a way to take it away.
Only up 10 at the half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they did. And I wanted to see it, and you saw it in a way where they were taking care of the basketball, they were doing things they needed to do, even in a time when sometimes it can be difficult when you're up by 20-plus points or whatever it may be, and they just kept pedal to the metal and kept playing the right way.
Yeah, they got it done, and man,
yeah.
I think the headline tonight it's got to be Dallas's injuries again.
I mean,
Kyrie Irving leaves this game, 2:52 to play in the first quarter. Did not look good.
Uh-uh.
They're calling it right now a left knee sprain. Who knows how long he's going to be out? But you start thinking about everything Mavs fans have dealt with this year. We just rattle off all the injuries.
I know.
Right? They make the Luka trade. That they're still like processing that.
Yeah.
The emotions
mourning
of that.
Mourning it. Yes.
And for a half of a game against the Rockets.
One half.
Anthony Davis made you kind of forget. Maybe not forget, but you went, oh,
there's hope.
I could see this. Lively, Gafford, AD, when everyone's healthy.
Max
Christie's nice. Oh, they could play defense. They might be pretty good. AD's out.
Yep.
Reevaluated later this week. Lively out. Gafford got hurt in that last game against Sacramento. Then tonight, you not only lose Kyrie Irving, you lose Jaden Hardy. It's honestly unbelievable.
And did you already say PJ Washington was out coming into this game?
PJ Washington as well. I do want to pause for a second.
Why?
I'm not seeing any audio levels on my side. Are you guys hearing us? Throws me off a little bit.
I mean, people would be like, we can't hear you.
I understand that, but I just want to make sure.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Do you understand how like it's
no,
kind of scary
weird.
When
no,
you
no,
don't
I
see
know.
Audio
I know.
Levels?
Okay. I know. I get it, but
all
people
right.
are obviously.
We're good. We're good.
We hear you. Cool.
I just feel bad for Mavs fans. I just can't imagine the high of last year when you make it to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And you add to your team, you lose some pieces, but you add Klay Thompson, you add Najee Marshall. You're feeling good about what you have. That trade happens. Injuries happen. The season's falling apart. There's not a lot of hope right now for this.
No. And I mean, that's coming from a fan base that has seen a lot of losing, has seen a lot of bad things. And then once the organization, the franchise that we obviously cover, we root for, finally saw their glimmer of hope with the Beam Team year. It changes so fast. And this is something you and I were talking about the other day. It's like, wow, it really does change so fast. That's crazy how much it can change. We didn't even see half of that success that Mavs team not only has seen, but even saw last year. It changed in a blink of an eye for that organization. And I just feel for the fans in so many different ways. And yeah, tonight was weird when Kyrie went down. So, I mean, I was still, when looking at how the Sacramento Kings were going to play, I was like, they better do a beatdown now. They better dominate now. And that's exactly what they ended up doing.
Yeah, they come out in the third quarter outscoring Dallas 34-16. That really set the tone the rest of the way. The Kings led big in this game, got up by as many as 32 points. None of the starters played heavy minutes. The biggest minute guy tonight was DeMar DeRozan, who played just over 30. With the win, Sacramento moves up to 8th.
Dude.
Dallas drops to 10th tonight. 10th.
I wasn't seeing this happening. I was not picturing this happening. And everyone's like, it could change so fast. I'm like, yeah, but like, look how the Kings lost to the Pelicans. And then they lost to, what was the next bad loss?
The Warriors.
The Warriors. And I'm just like, it's how they're losing. It's just, I get it. They can do it, but it's how they're losing. And holy shit, it's all about controlling what you can control and having these other teams either... You're seeing health be an issue. You're seeing them lose some weird games or guys are getting suspended. And it's helping you bump up in the standings.
How about the two teams that were in the Western Conference Finals last year? Minnesota and Dallas.
Wow.
Minnesota in 9th, Dallas in 10th at the moment. Now, the Kings are technically tied right now with the Clippers, who are in 7th. Sacramento a half game out of 6th after tonight. So... shit is tight in the West. It's going to be changing a lot down the stretch, but there are some teams that are trending the wrong direction, including Dallas and Phoenix. And right now, the Kings are trending up. And it's not like they have beaten a ton of juggernauts during this stretch, right? You got the Hornets, the Jazz. The Houston win, to me, was so impressive. That was a really strong win against a talented Rockets team. And then tonight against a Dallas team that's obviously banged up. I don't care. Like, this is my thing. I cannot get on board with people who nitpick the schedule and go, yeah, but this is the schedule. This is who you play. It's like, you won the games, and that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Not only do you need to win the games, are you seeing this team make progress? There's no doubt in my mind, especially the last two games, without Domantas Sabonis, by the way.
Thank you.
Without Sabonis, who's going to be out at least a week. You're wondering what it's all going to look like. It feels like this group is pretty damn connected.
Uh-huh.
The depth looks better. Oh, and what do you know? When guys like Keegan and Levine can knock down shots, it changes a lot.
And not only when they're knocking down shots, when you're just taking care of the basketball,
when you're playing
the right way, not only can it look so different, but it can just be so different even on the offensive end. It just allows you to have so many different possessions, opportunities. And it's really starting to... look better with or without guys out there on the floor.
And that's all that matters.
Yep.
You want to, how much we talked about it looking clunky after the deadline. And I know people wanted to dismiss like, oh, come on, the practice time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What's the matter? Oh, this sucks. No, like, what do you know? Some more practice time and just getting to know each other and some having some days off and just getting the reps. It does matter. And in some ways, you're glad the schedule's a little light because it allows you to build that chemistry against maybe lesser quality of opponents.
And I think what was frustrating about it was when it felt like the fundamentals weren't right out there for some of really good players on this roster. And I think some people went in that direction after things weren't coming together and things were still clunky, where you're just like, just... make it easier for yourself then. Like, what are you doing? Like, don't hesitate. Don't be passive. But it's so much easier said than done. When you see these guys, whether they're trying to find their own groove on a new team and trying to make sure that they're trying to find that balance of fitting, but also taking over. And so there's just a lot of things that you're juggling. And I feel like those things are starting to go away and they're starting to just play basketball together the right way.
And Keegan Murray said after the game, now they have to do it against some really good teams coming up here. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be tests. It's not like, hey, we're sitting here. Hey, guys, see, the Kings won four in a row. It's all good. Like, no, the schedule still remains challenging. But I think for me, I think for everybody, you need to see them play better basketball. But that's why I go back to that Houston game and go, that one told me a little bit more about this group. They just looked so connected against a quality team, against a good defensive team, and they looked good on both ends. And so to see them follow it up tonight and not have a letdown I don't know. I just feel like even the last couple of years when the Kings were pretty good, right? 48 wins, 46 wins. There's just so many of these letdown games against teams like this that we'd be like, oh, they should win this game. And now we
playing
go into
these down
games.
To their level, playing down to their level. That's always what it was. It was like, wait, why are you like getting up for this game? Like, why aren't you having that same type of passion that you had against the Houston Rockets? And you're exactly right. You're not questioning that right now against some of these shittier teams.
Yep.
And right there alone, huge improvement.
It's massive. And now if you're Sacramento, you just hope that the Sabonis thing is not something that lingers for multiple weeks, but you know, it's a grade one, which is a good sign, right? It's not like it's like a torn hamstring, but it's a hamstring issue. And I remember last year, Tyrese Halliburton, the initial ward on his hamstring was grade one. And you know, that shit lingered for a long time. So,
and because he tried getting back into it.
That's what I'm saying. You can't rush it back. Yeah. And if Sabonis is out at least a week, that means he's missing. Obviously, he missed tonight at Denver, home for San Antonio, at the Clippers, home for the New York Knicks. So
many games in 1 week.
Well, there's a lot of back-to-backs coming up, too.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Anyway, tonight, they just handled business. I think one of my favorite aspects of tonight's game is just seeing Keegan Murray starting to put it together offensively. I know what the guy does on defense. Mm-hmm. The guy locks down. He took two charges tonight.
I know.
Playing great defense out there, engaged. But now, offensively, seeing him twice tonight in transition, push that ball and just shoulder his way to the basket.
Well, do you want to continue that?
No, go ahead.
Because one of those times he took the ball and was going from 94 feet, I saw him looking for an outlet. Like, he's like, oh, who can I give this to? And then he's like, well, I guess I can just keep going. And I'm like, yes, please make that your mentality. And then he did keep going. And then he pushed through, body through all the way to the rim, made a move, had a nice, easy bucket. My point to that being, whatever his mentality was or that quick thought was, he just stopped thinking and was like, yeah, I can do this. I can go. And when Keegan has that mindset and is aggressive Keegan, or however you want to put it, everything else starts to come together in his offensive game.
In the game tonight, he had 18 points. He did it on 6 of 10 shooting. He was 4 of 8 from downtown, too. Mm-hmm. So the three-point shot is starting to fall for Keegan Murray as well, which I think is a very exciting thing. There is one sequence I loved that I wrote down. So he had the physical move in transition on Prosper. Then the next play, blocks a shot. Then he does it again a little bit later.
Okay. And
this time he gets fouled, goes to the line. Next play, draws a charge. It just shows you like the best version of Keegan Murray, where something we've talked a lot about on the podcast is like Keegan Murray is aggressive defensively. He plays physical defensively. He started tonight on Kyrie Irving. He takes the toughest matchups. You've seen a lot of growth from him the last couple of years on that, and I have no questions about that. It's once he realizes that he's got the same strength on the offensive end. And when he has that thought, which you're starting to see more of, like, I'm 6'8", 6'9", I'm a big dude. Let me push this ball.
Yeah.
And if I'm going downhill in transition, this defender, they're on their heels right now.
And not just running through the motions. Like running with a cut or a DHO or whatever it is with
a purpose.
Yes, thank you. I was going to say intent, a purpose. And when he does that, I feel like everyone else starts to do that as well. It's something that we were talking about with Zach LaVine when he first came to this team, being passive. And I feel like Keegan has been passive since the beginning of this year. And then we see those moments and we're like, why can't we get that consistently? And maybe now, just with this new roster and just kind of understanding his role, we're going to see that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think getting adjusted to, of course, Sabonis is out. I don't know if that changes things at all for him, but I mean, he came out looking for his. And during this win streak, I was looking at the numbers after the game. He's averaging just under 17 points a game on 52% shooting and 43% from downtown.
Love it.
So, Keegan.
More, please.
More of this, Keegan Murray.
More.
More of this. Attack the basket with force. Shoot threes. Don't hesitate. Love that shit.
Yeah.
And the two charges.
Yeah. Sacrificing his body, doing it on both ends. And especially on a night too, where we've seen someone like Keon Ellis come off the bench and he's just been on fire. He was 0-for-6 tonight from beyond the arc. And I just mentioned that number because when you do have someone like Keegan Murray stepping up, getting in his flow, going 4-of-8 from beyond the arc, it's like, oh, you have someone else that can shoot out there tonight. Where it felt like in the beginning of the season, when at times when it was Kevin Herter and Trey Lyles and Keegan Murray and nobody could shoot the basketball, you're just like, wait, you guys, it can be one of you. Like, someone else has to step up for each other. And that's what I feel like you're starting to see in some of these games too.
That point is awesome because he was 0-for-6 and the Kings still knocked down 16 of 34 from 3, 47%.
Yeah.
So your best three-point shooter this year has been Keon Ellis, about 45%. He goes 0-for-6. Doesn't happen very often. Excuse me. Sorry, you know, Stella's getting me.
Got it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Why were you looking at me like that?
Well, because I was like, did he pause? And then it was
pausing the burp, and then you just stared
at me. Well, I didn't know it was a burp.
You left me hanging.
Sorry. I didn't know it was a burp pause. I should.
You have to know that.
No. You did, like, give me the eye, like, hey.
Is there, what kind of signal would you like to, if I'm about to burp, what kind of signal do you want from me? I'm going to pause the show and go,
and then I go, oh my gosh, you guys, get this.
I think this is what I need to do. I need to see. Just put air in my mouth like that. That's the burp sign.
Is it? Okay.
I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with something. Are you no selling everything tonight?
No, what do you mean no selling?
You just stared at me when I did that.
Wait, did you burp again?
No.
Oh, no.
That wasn't the signal. That was a practice.
Oh, shit.
You'll know when it's real.
Okay. I got it.
So pay attention.
I know. I got it.
Saying three winks.
Three. That's a lot of winking. Oh, you're good at that. That would just be me blinking. I can't really wink. Okay, back to the threes. Anyway. No,
I got it. The next thing I want to talk about, because we just talked about the three-pointer, 16 to 34 from 3, 47%. Zach LaVine looking more and more comfortable. Man, the amount of Zach LaVine slander I heard in the first few games. Why are we so quick to bury players? Why are we so quick to bury players that have a body of work you've seen in his career, him shoot at a high level, score at a high level? Mm-hmm. You can question, oh, I don't know, man, the injuries with the contract. That makes me a little nervous. But when he's been on the floor, the guy's been a productive NBA player.
Sure.
He's been an all-star in this league. People were talking about him as if he was a journeyman, fringe bench player.
Sure.
Some even suggested, put him on the bench at $50 million a year. What you're seeing is this version of Zach LaVine. This is Zach LaVine. This is the guy that knocks down threes at a high rate, that gets to a spot. He loves that dribble. And
yeah.
Step back. It's nasty. And he looks phenomenal.
So when you talk about that, I completely, I understand. I was never a part of that group. But what I think sometimes where people go, they go to, well, fans, and I think fans go to emotions, and I think we are all allowed to do that and go to irrational emotions and think, wow, does everyone that puts on a Sacramento Kings jersey not shoot a three well? You know, like that. There was some like traumatizing times in the beginning of this season when you saw those missed threes, and then it felt like this guy's shooting 44% on the year and he can't make a shot. It just felt strange. And I completely understood why people were getting frustrated. But
why do we command instant results after a trade? I'm telling you, not only that, trades are hard.
And not only that, but also I think some people just gave up on it, on that thought of just thinking like, oh, things can get better. And they did get better, and they were going to get better one way or another. Even if it wasn't the same sharp shooting that he was doing in Chicago, it was going to get better. And now it's been a lot better, and it's been really fun. His shot is so smooth. Mm. But on top of that, the way that he's attacking right now, the basket off the dribble,
yeah,
I'm loving it. It's not like he just has to go downhill from the half court line, which I was worried about too. I was like, man, does he just have to go in transition? Is that the only way he's going to be aggressive going to the basket? That was something I was a little worried about in the first couple of games. And now you're seeing him get more and more comfortable in the half court set, actually go off the dribble, make a crafty move, get to the rim, get the foul, whatever it is. I love what he's doing.
And now his numbers with Sacramento, he is averaging just under 23 points a game. That's what he was averaging in Chicago. 50% shooting. His three-point percentage after that slow start is at 40% from three.
Wow.
Since joining the Kings. He just won NBA's Western Conference Player of the Week. I was looking at his numbers during this win streak, too.
Yeah.
He's averaging 26.5 points a game during this streak. 18 of 27 from three during this win streak. 18 threes.
Super efficient.
Unbelievable. 66% there. So no, in all seriousness, I'm glad he's getting more comfortable. I did feel like in the early stages, you could just tell he was processing a lot.
Everything. He just had a kid too.
He was, you know, maybe passing up some good looks. And now it feels like, oh, he's playing more of his game.
He's
now
playing basketball.
Yeah,
he's playing basketball.
And honestly, defensively, the last couple of games, I'm like, okay, there's more of a comfort level. I'm not going to ever pretend like he's some lockdown defender, but, you know, can he be in the right spots, switch at the right time, help at the right time, you know, be engaged, you're not getting blown by. Like, those are, to me, the keys. Communication.
And sometimes that's what I was going to say. That's also something that has to build. Like, we're not just all hearing it from home and seeing how much they're talking out there on the floor. But that aspect of the defensive end also has to continue to grow. And I'm sure that's been a big part of what's also helping his defensive game.
It's good to see. Tonight, 22 points for LaVine, 8 of 12 shooting, 4 or 5 from downtown. And, you know, we talk so much about health at the start of this with how banged up the Mavs have been, but a healthy Zach LaVine, like, what a productive player he is. And he has not been healthy the last couple of years. And so to see him back on the floor, healthy, that shooting, like you said, I mean, it's made a world of difference for the Kings, I think.
Even in the mid-range tonight, it was like he had like 11 points early on or whatever it was. And a few of them were just jump shots. And I'm like, they were just so pure, so beautiful. And to see him create and it doesn't look difficult for him, more, please. More.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yep.
Valanciunas got the start in place of Domantas Sabonis, who we had just talked about is out with the hamstring strain, grade 1 strain. He missed some good looks early, but still finished with 14 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 of 15 shooting, 15 shots in 23 minutes. It's good. He had a couple of misses around the rim putbacks, but I thought early on the Kings were maybe forcing a little too much to him because of the size thing, but what a pickup for the Kings. Like,
we say it game after game.
They needed him so bad. I know he wasn't super efficient in this one. I also thought, like, it was tough when Kai Jones came into the game. Shout out Kai Jones.
Yeah.
This guy just got signed, like, yesterday?
Yep.
Yesterday? He doesn't start this game. He starts the second half, and he led the Mavs in scoring tonight. 21 points, 9 rebounds on 9 of 10. And his athleticism was obviously a problem, but that was one of the challenges is Kai Jones is just going to run the floor, and God, he gets down the floor fast. And Valanciunas just getting torched on that end.
And obviously, JV was playing starter minutes too, you know? You were probably going to see a game from him where if he was inefficient, it was going to be like, okay, you're also in a different role with this team tonight. And so, but also to see him get the ball, like, just, it's not at the elbow, but maybe just like, just short range, just kind of in the paint, and he can get the ball there. He'll just turn around, survey, look, shoot the shot. You know, it's just, it's quick.
Yep.
It's never like, okay, let me see if I can rip through, dribble three times, do a post move. It's a quick decision from him when he does get the basketball. And then when it does go in, I'm just like, it's so nice having that big that can also score, get big,
doesn't
clean things up. Yeah, yeah. I love how quick he is with his decision making. And of course, going up against someone like Kai Jones tonight, who was just like a jolt of energy off the bench for the Mavs and was playing his heart out, it was going to be more difficult.
The other thing with Valanciunas is I always forget how long he is, and I looked it up today and I still didn't believe it. According to Google, he has a 7'6 wingspan.
Okay.
And you see that on display when he's out there.
But you don't believe it?
It's not that I don't believe it, it's just crazy.
Yeah, okay, so it is believable. He has a 7'6 wingspan.
Well, according to Google, unless I'm reading it wrong, I don't know.
I believe it.
Anyway, he finished with, we mentioned, the 14 points, 9 rebounds. He also had 2 blocks in this game.
Damn.
In his 23 minutes of action.
Damn.
So, you know, if Sabonis goes down, I don't know, earlier this year in December.
Oh.
I don't even know what to say.
Dark thoughts.
I think they can get through this right now with Valanciunas. You mix in some Trey Lyles small ball 5, depending on the matchup, and I think you can get through this, and you hope that Sabonis's injury is not like a long-term thing. So that, it's not ideal to have Sabonis out, obviously, but God,
best
man,
case
to
scenario.
Have a guy that like has started in this league,
yes,
who's a vet, a big body, adds toughness, not afraid to shoot, that can rebound. Love it.
Dude, we've been talking about Jonas Valanciunas since he was with the Pelicans and how much we would love to have him. What?
People are saying pause. What did I do that was a pause moment? Did I miss it?
I mean, obviously, because you don't know what it is.
Okay. I'm going to say something. I don't like your energy tonight.
What?
Obviously, I don't know what it is. You're a little intense tonight. No selling, allowing me to
no selling. No, stop. No selling what? No selling what?
My burp signal.
I just didn't understand it. And once I got it, I said, hell yeah, I loved it.
Okay.
So then what, so go on, what else?
And then just now.
I said, yeah, you obviously missed it if you don't know what it is.
Thanks. Great insight.
That's so mean.
Great. That was very helpful in the situation.
After a fun win, you're going to do that to me? After a fun win.
Just turn this back on me.
Because I didn't do anything. I was just talking about Jonas Valanciunas and how excited we were about.
Technical on you guys. Saying Jonas is long. We're going to call that a stretch. That's a stretch.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like anytime people say pause, like it's usually a stretch. Like people, it's just like is that a Gen Zer thing?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I thought you were a Gen Zer.
I think I'm actually a generation below that.
What's that?
Gen you know, X? My generation, we don't even focus on that element.
Oh.
Yeah. We just live. We let the, you people talk about generations and
oh
stuff. Yeah.
You people talk yeah. about the generation thing
yeah
okay
also in the chat PK says the Kings are back. Do you feel like the Kings are back?
You know, I wasn't feeling good not too long ago. What was that, All-Star break?
Yeah.
And
after the Pelicans game, well, actually the Warriors game too.
Warriors game. I think I always feel like, well, maybe this team just isn't going to be good enough. And now, not just because they're winning these games, but mostly because how they're winning, I would take out the Jazz game. That would be the one game where I was like, that wasn't my favorite win, but it's a win and I don't give a shit. I'll take a win. I would say how they're growing together, how they're playing. I'm feeling like, yeah, this team can actually get in a position to make the playoffs, where before I was just like,
is it all falling apart? Yeah. At the moment it feels pretty good. feels pretty good.
It wasn't even like, is it all falling apart? I was like, yeah, I mean, statistically, they can get in the playoffs. But now I'm feeling more like, yeah, they
could especially get in the playoffs. What's happening around them. Who knows what's going to happen with Dallas? Phoenix is falling apart. Still play the Suns twice, though. A couple other things about tonight. I just like, there were some lineups out there that were just fun defensively. When Jake LaRavia was out there with Markel.
He was fun.
And I'm trying to look at some of the other lineups. You had Ellis, Levine, DeMar, Jake, and Lyles. That was kind of fun. I'm trying to think if there was another one that I really liked. No, it was this one. That's the one. Second quarter. It's when Fultz, Levine, LaRavia, Keegan, and Lyles were out there.
Oh, yeah.
Three really good defenders. Yeah. And they were just flying around.
It was, I mean, long arms and passing lanes, just being aggressive. And to be able to put those bodies out there together, because you obviously had the lead that you had, just again growing together, not on the practice floor, because obviously that's not a unit that's always going to be practicing together, but to get that experience in game is great to see. And Markel Fultz knocking down a few of those little jumpers in the paint, love to see that, love to see his confidence grow as a player, and just feeling good about him as well. 16 minutes tonight.
Trey Lyles is really good tonight, too. 9 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists for Trey Lyles in 20 minutes.
Love
taking on a depleted Mavs team. So I like that as well. That was good to see. And also, we saw two guys who were literally playing and starting for the Stockton Kings a couple of days ago. Isaac Jones and Scal Labissiere. Scal Labissiere, who was signed to a 10-day contract yesterday after the Sabonis news came out. They bring up Scal, who's been with Stockton the last couple of years. Scal tonight got into the game, his first NBA game since December 28th, 2019.
Whoa.
2019.
That's crazy.
It is 2025.
Dude, you and I, like, obviously,
yeah.
Deuce and I call NBA G League games Stockton Kings, so we get to see a lot of Scal. And every time we see Scal out there, we're just like, I mean, he's long. He is consistent. He's grown just maturity wise, obviously, but I would even say just with the way of like being able to compose himself a little bit more when he does get frustrated. And it's so cool that he got this opportunity.
Yeah. When he's been grinding to get back to the league, you know, when you get knocked out of the league, it's hard to get back sometimes, especially when you're kind of a fringe guy.
For sure.
And it's a 10-day contract, but for him, like,
doesn't matter.
Dude, he was in Mexico City in the G League, now with Stockton the last couple of years. You're just waiting for any moment. Not only do you get called up, but then you play. How many minutes did he end up playing tonight?
Four.
Played 4 minutes at the end of the game.
Yeah. No, it's really cool to see. And like you said, just with that grind and everything. And then obviously the other guy, Isaac Jones, who ended up playing 9 minutes. I mean, we saw it even in the beginning of the year when Mike Brown was putting him in these small opportunities. It was like he would have moments where you're just like, oh, he's confident out there. Like he feels like he belongs. And obviously he's working on so many other things in the G. But being able to get those 9 minutes and just going 3 for 3, looking strong, looking good.
Can we give some love to the basketball sickos around the basketball universe?
Give me a hell yeah.
Over 1,000 people watching on a Monday night.
Guys,
let's do a little refresher here.
A little refresher.
239 thumbs up.
Oh,
it's a very cute number. Cute. Thank you. We need that up higher. All it does is help our channel grow. Hit the thumbs up. That should be probably at 600-700 by now.
Oh, I love your 700? Estimate of where it should be.
And also make sure you're subscribed to the channel so you know when we drop content. Of course, we do a lot of King stuff after games, but we'll be doing NBA content as well. So we appreciate all you guys being here tonight. We got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. We do need to mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends of Recentivo Vineyards and Winery.
Oh, sip up and enjoy some of the best wine that I know we've ever had. And it's local. It's right here. They have a new wine tasting room opening up in the Fairfield area in spring of 2025. There's so many perks if you become a wine member. There's actually really cool at Golden One Center just for being a wine member, and you can buy their wine online. So make sure to check them out.
Also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one at Golden One who bank with them? Golden One Credit Union. So many perks, too, if you're a Kings fan, including getting 15% off Kings home games. I'm sorry, did I say 50? 50% off Kings home games. 15% off Kings merch. And you never know what type of upgrade you can get just by going to a game and flashing that Golden One Center, excuse me, Golden One card at Golden One Center. If Scott Fresh Hour says to flash it, you never know. Maybe a seat upgrade as well. Check out all they can offer at GoldenOneCreditUnion.com. Golden One Credit Union, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings.
Whoa! We are thrilled to team up with Medic Ambulance, the trusted name in emergency medical services across Northern California. For over 45 years, Medic Ambulance has set the standard in emergency medical services, combining cutting-edge technology, award-winning service, and a deep commitment to community care. Medic is the official emergency medical response partner of Sac Republic and Sac State Athletics. Stingers up. Learn more at medicambulance.net.
Also presented by our friends over at
Rocket Money. It's not even a new year anymore, but I feel like if you are not keeping track of your finances, you're doing 2025 wrong. Make sure you're doing that with Rocket Money. It's a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Yeah, Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million. And canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features.
Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/gameon. That's rocketmoney.com/gameon today.
Appreciate everyone's support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Okay, Morgan Reagan, let's get to some super chats. West Sac Kings fan, thank you so much for being a member 33 months, saying let's go Kings.
Thank you.
Nick says, New York Nick is happy to be awake for a post game for once. He donates 20. Are you kidding?
Give me a hell yeah.
Thank you. Also, glad you're awake.
Shout out to New York. Christopher donates $5, says, can I get a hell yeah? Also, the updates last podcast had me rolling. Thanks for the laughs. Caught CM Punk segment right before this. So pumped. Yeah, I can't wait to watch that. And Oleg donates $5 saying, Scal will be missed in Stockton.
Thanks, Oleg.
Yeah, I appreciate that. One stat I love tonight, 34 assists and just 7 turnovers for the Kings. 34 assists tonight. Malik Monk had 8 assists.
Yep.
0 turnovers.
Love it.
He's been throwing the ball everywhere. And lobs just, to nobody.
No, I know. And it's just, it's again, it's just all the things we wanted to see improvements in, even whether it was with individual play or just some of these team stats. You saw it in tonight's game, and it was a broken down Mavs team, but that's what you're supposed to do against a broken down team. That's what good teams do. And if you ever want to become a good team in this league or be considered a good team in any way, shape, or form, you got to do the games like that.
You handle your business.
Hell yeah.
It's that simple. One thing for Malik, he had 0 turnovers on the box score.
Yeah.
A Deuce Mason is actually updated it, actually. I get some breaking news.
Oh.
Unofficially 1 turnover.
Okay.
For telling Doug Christie to challenge something that they shouldn't have challenged.
That's the unofficial.
What? No.
I know.
No.
I know. I know.
If I'm a coach, there is not one player in the league I am believing. And guess what?
No, it's early.
If you're wrong, I'm never listening to you again. You break the trust. Ooh. We can't. Challenges mean something. Okay.
Do that again.
Challenges mean something. I want them late in the game.
I know.
So if you're using them in the first quarter, you better be right.
I know. No, I'm totally with you. When that happened, I was just so frustrated because I feel like Doug hasn't done that a lot. And whatever it was, he just really felt confident in what Malik was saying. He felt confident. Obviously, the coach is looking back at the replay and everything, but they lost their challenge quickly. And all I was thinking in my head is like, no, it's going to be one of those games where they just need it. So glad it wasn't.
Yeah, seriously. It was 122-98. I think it was safe. Kind of weird to see the Mavs starters tonight because Kyrie went down after, 9 minutes and 25 seconds. So he was out. Dwight Powell started, only played 9 minutes and 34 seconds. Their starters only scored 23 points in this game. Klay Thompson, 3 points on 1 of 4 shooting.
Yeah. How many minutes did Klay end up playing?
Almost 25.
Yeah, that was seeing him miss some of the shots that he was missing. I was surprised because it's like those were the games where it's like they need you to step up.
Yeah,
this is where they need you the most, and he wasn't able to deliver. That was going to be my point to this. That first half, the Kings' defense wasn't even that great, especially in that first quarter. Where the Kings defense wasn't that great, right?
Yeah, I don't think they closed well. I think they let them off the hook too many times.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. So Klay couldn't even capitalize in those moments, yep. You know? And I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, Dante Exum started. He was 2 of 10. Dinwiddie off the bench. He got extended minutes. Obviously, once Kyrie went down, had 10 points, but 2 of 12 shooting. Just a brutal night for the banged up Mavericks. God, was it going to bring up now? I can't remember.
Okay.
Kings are 32 and 28. Let's get to the poll question tonight.
Yeah.
Who was the player of the game? The options, I know what I was going to bring up. DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Zach LaVine. Where would you weigh in tonight?
Wait. Was this what you were going to bring up, or is this?
Just trust me. Okay, answer the question first.
Who is the player of the game? I'll go with Keegs.
You would go with Keegs, yeah. As well. Okay. DeMar got 10% of the vote. Keegan, 62% of the vote. LaVine, 28. I want to bring up DeMar because I thought he was really good tonight. Another 20-point game for him. He had 4 assists. He was 8 of 15 shooting.
Yeah.
He's just, it's almost amazing his ability to get to his spots.
Absolutely. And get to his spots, be in the same muscle memory, like turnaround jumper or whatever. Maybe, I mean, there was even a time or two where I felt like he got in the middle of the paint and still like looked to kick it out or something. And I was like, you shoot way harder shots. There's a few of those moments where I'm curious when he puts himself in a pickle and then has to kick it out somewhere. Mm-hmm. But that's where everyone just needs to make sure they're relocating with him and being in the right place, whether it's in a corner, whether it's in just his eyesight, whatever it is. But yeah, I love seeing him get those numbers.
He was good, but he was not the player of the game. Just like the fans voted, it goes to Keegan
Murray.
The Simply the Best Player of the Game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Keegan Murray had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He did on 6 of 10 shooting, 4 of 8 from downtown in just 24 minutes of work. 18 and 5, 6 of 10, 4 of 8 in 24 minutes.
Simply the best player of the game.
Presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. They're celebrating their anniversary. You can celebrate it with them. Check out everything you can get with their windows.
30th anniversary sale.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You get 9 windows and a patio door. Lots of sales going on, so make sure to check them out.
Because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Do you like that picture of Keegan Murray?
I love that photo. Is that media day?
Yeah.
Ugh.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah. Loved Keegan's game tonight, too.
Next up for the Sacramento Kings, the final game of the road trip.
Yeah.
Against the Denver Nuggets. Denver got a long rest here. They played Sunday against Boston. Their next game is not until Wednesday against Sacramento.
Oh,
last time the Kings were there, it was not pretty. It was the second half of a back-to-back for the Kings in Denver, and it was ugly, but a good opportunity for the Kings to take on the Nuggets team, kind of test it out a little bit, because this Nuggets team has had some better moments recently. Obviously, they've got Jokic.
Yep.
So glad they've got Valanciunas to throw at him. That'll just be fun.
It will be. And how do you stay on the floor? How do you make sure you stay on the floor? How do you stay disciplined where you're obviously not drawing a whole bunch of fouls because your size is going to be needed out there? And like you said, it's a test. And I don't think it needs to be like, all right, Kings are shorthanded, so it's going to be tough. I more see this as like you plug and play someone like Jonas Valanciunas, even though he's not Domas Sabonis, but just in this situation with so many guys playing so well, everyone has their challenges with Jokic. Every time the Kings play the Nuggets, they have their challenges with Jokic. How do you make sure you're still doing what you need to do on the offensive end, taking care of the basketball, but also defensively just getting in the way of other people, making sure you're putting your jersey in front of them, making sure you're in help, trying to do everything you can to make their life more difficult.
If you had to pick one win, Chat and Morgan Reagan, ooh, you had to pick one win. You can only get one.
Okay.
Beating Denver, mm-hmm, to have a 4-0 road trip, and you're beating like a good team, yeah, on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
But you lose against San Antonio.
No, I want the win against San Antonio.
You'd rather beat San Antonio, yeah, than beat Denver.
There's no hesitation. Stupid question.
That's a tough one.
No, it's not. Get the fuck out. no, it's not.
But think about it. Wouldn't it mean more to beat Denver than San Antonio?
Who cares? Sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes it's not about that.
What would be the worst case scenario against the Spurs?
De'Aaron Fox getting a game winner at Golden 1 Center against the Kings. I have it all in my mind already.
Imagine if he he dropped 60 but lost. That's never happened.
That still wouldn't feel good. That still wouldn't feel good.
If he dropped 60 in this
and lost. I love that you laugh.
People are saying the Spurs.
Like the more important win. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you agree or not agree?
I don't know. I go back and forth.
Oh, come on.
Imagine if you come back home and you go, oh my God, we beat Denver and Houston without Sabonis. That's massive wins. If huge. You lose one of the Spurs, it's like, it's all right.
No, it's not. And you know it's not. And you know it's not. Like, you know how this fan base works. Come on. You even in, I say this fan base that you're a part of, and I know how you feel deep down inside.
Well, obviously, I'm not rooting for him to have a good game. I hope he literally goes 1-for-30.
I know. Everyone that leaves the Kings is dead to you. We already know all this. Yes. But, at the same time, if you had to choose, I just don't think you'd be saying the same thing on Friday if the Kings lost.
It's, you know, the good news, you don't have to pick one. You could just get both. How about that? Let's just keep this rolling.
There's the attitude.
Let's hear some Zach LaVine after this Kings win.
And what do you think has clicked for you in particular after sort of a slow start acclimating?
Well, I mean, it was a really good week for us. It means a lot. You know, it's always good to be recognized. And, you know, I got to, give a lot of credit for the team and the coaches, getting me acclimated into the right system, us doing our job and winning. So, it means a lot. And, I'm grateful.
Tonight, obviously, Dallas loses Kyrie in the first quarter. But you guys come out at halftime, play with force, and essentially put the game away there. How important was it for you guys to have that mindset coming out of the break and not allowing them to maybe get an emotional lift given –
Yeah, I mean, they got, I hope Kyrie's okay. I hope, all their guys get, better. I think Hardy got hurt as well. But it's part of the game. We have to do our job. And, knowing them, other guys step up. We played in games before where, people, when their main guy goes out, everybody else gets some energy and someone steps up. So, we did our job of going out there and putting the game away and giving our starters some much-needed rest.
And what are the things you can take from this run you guys are on that you can apply to when the schedule gets a little bit more difficult and you face some really good teams, including Wednesday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just doing a good job sharing the ball. We're being connected on defense. We're helping each other. We see a guy that has it going, go to him, get back to the offense. But we're sharing the ball and playing with a sense of urgency.
On the defensive end, the communication seems to be pretty fluid, especially tonight. And maybe just a little more crisp than it had been. How much has the games you guys have played and the practice night you've had helped with the new guys that have come in?
Yeah, I mean, as much as everyone wants it to work on the first game in media or outside world, it just doesn't work that way. So, time and experience with playing, I think playing real live games always helps. You need to go through a little ups and downs before you take off and start to understand everybody. At least speaking for myself, that's helped.
Yeah, then Jonas's presence in the paint, how has that been for you guys, especially with Delmas out tonight?
Yeah, he's a real big man, He's, always played against him. He's a force, very physical. He's doing contest stuff at the rim. He's doing help getting the penalty and things like that. you know, if he has a mismatch, you know, go to him, you know, and that helps everybody else out. So he did a great job tonight, even though he missed a couple of easy bunnies, he still was, you know, very impactful.
I think 10 of your first made baskets in the first quarter were assisted. How much of an emphasis was that coming into the game, and how much more comfortable do you guys feel now within the flow of the offense?
Yeah, like I said earlier, we're just moving the ball well, finding it open, man. Obviously, we have some guys here that can make tough shots and go isolation when we need to, and we still will go to that. But, you know, trying to get everybody involved early and then just reading the game from there has been good these last 3-4 games.
Thank you.
There's Zach LaVine after the Kings win tonight.
Thanks, Zach.
What do you think jumped out?
Just him talking about the getting acclimated part and, you know, people just saying and thinking that it all works out after or during the first game. And it's just like, not realistic.
No.
You know how I am. I'm very much a realistic person when it comes to wins or how people feel or like, just, I don't know, just how, or like patience within basketball. Mm-hmm. I've always preached patience with jobs and how people do whatever, growing. And with this, I completely felt the same way. My only thing that I think I was getting frustrated about with an in-season trade was like, it doesn't matter how realistic I need to be. You guys need to figure it the F out fast.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And that's where like the only irrational thought I think I ever had with it.
I don't think that's irrational. I think that's just being demanding. It's like, and they knew that too. Like, you have to figure this out. And they probably still have some things they have to figure out. But all you're looking for is, are we seeing some growth here?
Yeah.
And it's clear as day.
Clear.
It looks different today than it looked like in that Warriors game.
Hell
and
yeah.
Before that against the Pelicans, even when they beat the Pelicans in the game,
yep.
Or even the last time they played Dallas when they won that overtime game, it just looks smoother.
Even when they beat the Hornets and not turning the ball over as much.
Yep.
Like those, the growth, it's great.
So that's what excites me. And I do think that the defensive side is something that is really getting me excited because they did it tonight against a team that has been ravaged by injuries and Utah or whatever. But that Houston game sticks with me. And now they got to go do it against the Nuggets and against the Knicks and against it. There's so many good teams coming up here, but that's what it's about. God, the playoff time, man. The playoff push.
It's wild. I did not think this season after everything that was happening that was still going to really be.
Oh my God. When they fired Mike Brown, there is not an ounce of me that thought like, oh, they're going to turn.
Because
more times than not, when you fire your coach out early, it's like, all right, like you might get a little boost or whatever, but then it just fades. No, you know, Doug is now 19-10 as the interim coach. They made a big trade in the middle of that too. This season's bizarre. There's
it's
no other
crazy.
Words for it. It's bizarre, but.
But the Western Conference has been bizarre.
Yeah,
and
for
that too.
And they've got a really talented group. I think the depth is better. I mean, I just my comfort level now when, you know, you're healthy and you have a bench that has Valanciunas.
Yeah.
Laravia, I still don't think has gotten into like a completely good like flow, but even him knocking down, I think a couple of threes tonight. It was 2 of 4 from downtown. I was like, good, he knocked down some threes. Seeing Monk knock down some threes.
Mm.
But then even Markel Fultz.
Yes.
To have a guy like that coming off your bench.
When you lost your starting point guard, and then your starting guard had to take on that role as starting, like legitimate starting point guard role. And then obviously Keon can come off the bench and play in that. But then having Markel Fultz, like you said, that is a distributor that can play defense. That obviously looks healthy and has also changed his mentality through all the different things.
He's been
in
through
adversity.
A lot.
Yeah, that he's been through.
So it's pretty cool to see.
Hell yeah.
So next up for the Kings, the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. What was the other thing I wanted to hit on, Morgan?
Oh my God.
I'm forgetting.
It's
tonight.
Okay. I'm not gonna get down on you for doing that.
You sound like you're getting down on me by saying.
No. Are you serious right now?
No. Relax. Oh my God.
I'm like encouraging you, being hella nice. I'm sorry you forget.
Yeah. It's all good. Long season. You know, you forget things every once in a while. Hey, Kings had 7 turnovers. I had 3 tonight, you know? Not a big deal. looking at the final box a little more. Okay, yeah. Laravia, by the way, played 28 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds, a couple assists. I also just, like, when he was defending Clay, he was all over him. Had his arms out, right into his chest. Love seeing that. Making life challenging, moving especially when Kyrie's not there. It's like, hey, they become a little easier to guard. You can put a little more pressure on these guys. And so it was cool. But the defensive communication, I think that's, I got off on a tangent. Anyway, I just think the defensive communication has been there. Like, you've seen that look more comfortable out there. Like, the made shots. Like, I knew LaVine was going to start making shots. My big question was, is this group going to be capable of playing defense?
But, Deuce.
It looks better.
That's why it looks so much better, because they are doing just the little things. The simplest things. You don't have to have the best individual defenders, but if you have basketball players that understand how to play in a team defense and are taking on what a coach is telling them, being in the right spot, making sure they're talking, whether they're the anchor, whether they're in help, whether they're in deny, whatever, like doing all those things, you're going to see so much more success on both ends of the floor.
I had a LaVine question for you too.
Sure.
What is prettier, his jumper
or his smile?
I was going to say his eyes.
Oh, you really were?
I was.
So stupid.
His eyes just suck you in, man.
They're just piercing. Yeah. They're beautiful. Beautiful eyes. Beautiful smile. But I would say his jumper, because I'm a hooper.
That jumper, dude. It's so nice, dude.
Every time. I don't care if it's from beyond the arc, in the mid-range. It's just so quick. So smooth, so pure. It's beautiful.
And he's just really fast as well. Like, there was one play tonight where he got the ball in the corner, put it on the floor and attack, and it was so quick.
Yes.
It's one thing to be fast in transition. You know, you see Kai Jones tonight, I'm like, damn, that guy sprints the floor and is just an incredible athlete. But Zach LaVine can get off the dribble and attack, and it's just like it's so quick, and then his ability to shift and get around defenders and get to the other side of the basket. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
Whereas Malik would say, God damn.
God damn.
Malik cracks me up. Yeah. Dude.
He's great. And I'm so glad that he came back after.
Oh my God. What was going through your mind when he left the game? I stepped on someone's foot.
Yeah. It was just like, no, this can't be happening. And then when he came back, I was like,
yeah,
of course.
That was awesome.
You can always rely on him.
Around the league tonight, things that matter, I guess, if you're a Kings fan, Golden State beat the Hornets 119-101, so they stay hot.
Boo.
So they took care of business. Houston lost again, this time to Oklahoma City, who put up 137 points. OKC won this game 137-128. SGA, 51 points. He also had 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 18 of 30 shooting in this game. He was 5 of 9 from downtown. Jalen Williams chipped in 24 points. Reed Shepard got the start tonight for Houston. Oh my God, I didn't realize they were down a lot of players tonight.
Ooh.
Wow.
So no Fred VanVleet.
No Ahmed Thompson. Shengun didn't play. No Dylan Brooks didn't play.
Wait, okay. Steven Adams, too. Like, yeah, none of these guys.
Their starters were Reed Shepard, Jalen Green, Jock Landale, Jabari Smith, and Cam Whitmore. Whitmore had 27 and 11. Why? Reed Shepard had 25.
Why did all those guys not play against OKC?
I don't know. That's crazy. I love. On Kings game nights, we love going and looking at a game without watching and, like, trying to break it down.
Yeah.
I was like, man, 137, tough loss for the Rockets. Oh, wait, nobody was playing for them.
That's a pretty good score for the Rockets. Yeah. Considering,
I mean, Reed Shepard, who hasn't been playing at all.
What an effort by the Rockets tonight.
Oh my God. Detroit stays hot. They beat the Utah Jazz 134-106. Cade Cunningham at 29. The Atlanta Memphis game was insane.
Oh, why?
Insane.
Whoa.
Ja Morant did not play again. Jaren Jackson left the game after 2 minutes with an injury. So that's something to watch for Memphis right now. He left the game.
Okay.
Did not look, he like twisted his ankle. Did not look good. He was jumping in the air, landed, I think, on Dyson Daniels' foot. End of the game, it's 130-130. Desmond Bane has the ball. He had 35-10-10 this game, so he's feeling it. He's like, I'm going to go for the win. Picked by Dyson Daniels. Gets it out in transition. Okay, there's like 13 seconds to go. Okay. When the play starts.
Okay.
Picked by Dyson Daniels. Classic. Yep. We've seen that. He did that to Fox.
Yep.
And Daniels got it out on the outlet. And Caris LeVert, Euro step at the buzzer, beating Memphis 132-130.
Whoa.
You want an insane stat tonight?
Sure, if you have it.
Atlanta scored 132 points. How many points in the paint do you think they had?
Ooh, okay. I didn't look. So if it's 132 and you're asking this question, I'm going to guess it's like 24.
Yeah, that'd be insane. That means, yeah, they just hit all jumpers, huh? Yeah. No, they had 82.
Oh, shit. Okay, it was the opposite. I was thinking it was going to be like, Morgan, they only had this many in the paint. That's a lot of points in the paint.
82 points in the paint. They were 41-65 in the paint tonight.
Oh, my God.
65 of their 96 shots tonight came in the paint. Caris LeVert at 25 off the bench.
The way you asked me, I was like, well, it can't. It's somehow they just must have scored a lot of threes, blah, blah. That's insane.
You don't see 82 Mm-mm. points in the paint very often in the league. Nope. That's crazy. Miami beat Washington 106-90 tonight. Davion Mitchell did not play tonight, but Davion Mitchell's been playing some really good basketball. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's like the perfect spot for him.
Yeah, just works hard. Yep. It's a grind it out all the time. Trust your work.
No, and you know, like, Miami will just love a guy that's just what I'm put saying. In, just perfect.
The so. Miami culture.
Games to watch tomorrow. Golden State, New York's kind of interesting, of Ooh. Course. We're going to keep an eye on Minnesota, Philly, although Philly's so banged up. Clippers, Phoenix.
That one.
That's probably the biggest game to watch.
Right? Yep.
For Kings.
Yeah.
Who you root for in that game? Do you want the Clippers just to bury the Suns? Or are you going, you know what? I kind of want the Suns to win because then the Kings can move ahead of LA.
I mean, that's, I would say let's bury the shit out of the Suns.
Bury them because the Kings still play them twice.
I know. And okay. And I know even when you said that earlier and you're like, well, they still play the Suns twice. I'm like, yeah, but they just keep looking like they're falling apart more and more. And then you play them the last game of the season. I know it's not like they're going to tank, obviously no picks or anything. But at the same time, I'm just like, what's the, like, that's really, what do you play? That's really hard. I guess pride.
Like, I was not hot, super high on them, but I thought, all right, Budenholzer steps in there. They made some good moves in the offseason. They got off to a good start. I think they started the season like 8-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and KD's playing, you're like, okay, like you could see it. And it just has totally fallen apart for them. And yeah, I mean, it's almost stunning. It's one thing to be like, hey, they're not a championship team, but the fact that they're like on the outside looking in and they're in a massive like hole right now, this is brutal.
I know. Just bury it deeper.
I'm kind of going Suns win.
That's fine.
Then the Kings can move ahead of the Clippers and let's keep it moving.
Look at you. All right. Love that attitude.
Let's get some final thoughts.
Ooh, my final thoughts. I love winning. It's so fun. And like I said, at the start of the podcast, I don't give a shit who it's against. Enjoy it, embrace it, celebrate it, do all the things. And especially when it's being played the right way and you're seeing growth and you're seeing so many things that are positive, enjoy and celebrate.
I like that.
Thank you.
Because it changes fast in this league.
It changes fast.
There's no better example of that than the Dallas Mavericks. It changes fast.
Yep.
So even if things look as great as can be, it could get bad really fast.
Yep.
Or when it's bad, it could switch up. The Kings were 13-18. They fire their coach, go to 13-19. It looks like it's all over. Look at where they're at now.
Amazing.
Let's just enjoy the ride together like we always do.
Yay.
We appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you comment after the show on YouTube. Just helps our channel grow. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe, spread the word. We love you guys, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your evening. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.